Good morning, church. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter number
1.
In the past few weeks or months and a half so, I have been trying to bring messages of encouragement to you. And I think I will try to do the same even this morning. Philippians chapter number 1. Our verse is verse 6, but I will read until
verse 10.
It reads as following. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayers with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Amen.
The title of our message this morning, God's Perfect Work. And friends, we all want perfect things. We want perfect children. We want perfect jobs. We want perfect wives, even though Eve did not remain perfect. We want perfect husbands, even though Christ alone is the only perfect husband. And at the end of the day, we search and we search in vain. At the end of the day, nothing seems to fill the gaps. Today you go to a church, you are being told that you can have a perfect life and a perfect home and a perfect wedding and a perfect car. But we all know, friends, there is nothing that man can do that can be
perfect.
Let me remind you of this story. In April 1912, the Titanic cruise ship set sail from Southampton. And then don't sit there and act like you don't know the film Titanic, because I know you watched it. But in 1912, that ship made sail out from Southampton. It made its way through the Atlantic Ocean. Of course, the ship took many years to build, and it was considered to be the mother of all ships and cruise liners.
Yes,
It was hailed to be unsinkable. When I watched the movie those years ago, I remember someone said in the movie, even God cannot sink this ship. People were filled with great excitement of their creation. People were honored and privileged to be on board. But who thought of the possibility of the ship to sink? In the midst of the ocean, among the iceberg, something unthinkable happens. Man's great work crumbled. Man's good work came to an end. The ship struck ice and it was no more. Remember, friends, the Titanic was supposed to give a safe journey throughout the Atlantic. Yet, it failed. Church, everything that men begin will eventually fail. Regardless of how good and promising it may be, everything that men begin outside God, it will fail. And in most cases, it brings about shame in its fall. That is why, friends, when we consider our lives in this crazy world, we definitely need encouragement. There are so many things we have begun and tried and all came to nothing. We need to be encouraged. And the Bible will encourage you this morning. The Bible continues to encourage you any time, everywhere. The Bible continues to tell you that God loves you. But at times, the situations and the happenings in your life might make you feel like you are walking alone. You pray and your prayers seem to hit the roof and come back to you. Whatever you try to do, it brings discouragement and anxiety. And in everything, you feel like you're walking alone. This morning, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, God is about to bring us an encouragement. It is a great encouragement, friend, because we find Paul writing from prison. He writes to a church challenged by outsiders and false teachers who are within the church. But also the church is suffering disunity and idleness in their service to God. The church is in a stressful situation, my friend. The men they trust the most, the men they depend unto, the men who are supposed to give them courage or encouragement, he is in prison, he is bound and in chains. The It is hard to understand even what he says, because he says in his word, when he writes to them, his imprisonment advances the gospel. It's so hard because the church is suffering. How is it that the man's imprisonment advances the gospel? They are failing to understand. He's saying their suffering plays a good part in the hand of God for the transformation and edification of the church. How can this be? In their suffering, in the midst of persecution, he says to them, in everything that is happening, be encouraged. God is on your side. How do you know that God is on your side? God has given you a new life. God has given you the life of faith. In other words, you have something which the world does not have. God's life is in you. So the question is then, can I trust that supernatural work of salvation in me? Am I going to hold on to the end? Will I not be shipwrecked by the waves and the storms of this life? Perhaps I am a new believer. Will I not slip off? Maybe I'm an old believer. How long am I going to hold on? Paul gives us an answer. He gives us a threefold way to trust in God in relation to your salvation. On basis of these three things, you can trust in the Lord. On basis of these things, you can know that the work in you is God's perfect work. Firstly, we see Paul's personal confidence in the Lord. Remember our verses, verse 6. He says in verse 6, I am sure of this. In other words, I am confident of this very thing. And if you have been reading your Bible, you realize that these are the same ways which the Apostle Paul spoke to encourage the young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse
12.
I know whom I have believed. And I'm confident that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted unto me. I know whom I have believed. And now he comes and says, I am confident in this. I am sure about this. I have a strong and deep conviction of the God who saved me. I have experienced his grace. I have seen his work in my life. I know the man that I used to be, and I know the man that I am today. I persecuted the church. I persecuted the Lord himself. But even so, in his grace, he works in me both to will and to do in accordance to his will and purpose. Friend, let me remind you, every one of us was on some road when the Lord find you. You were on some road when the Lord finds you. And then we remember that the Apostle Paul now builds his confidence from his past experience. He was also on the road to somewhere when the Lord finds him. It was on the road to Damascus when the Lord Jesus Christ found him. He was traveling to Damascus, not looking for Jesus, but searching for the Christians who were in Damascus to persecute and kill them. He wanted to stop the spread of Christianity. He wanted to wipe out, as it were, the name of the Lord in the face or the surface of the earth. But there on that road to Damascus, he was arrested by an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, a confrontation with the God of heaven. What happens when a man comes in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ? His world was turned upside down. For the first time, this man, he knew the man himself in whom we all should build our confidence upon. He knew for the first time the man we all should trust. The God of heaven in whom we all should rely and depend. He had to trust now a person who is beyond his reach. Remember, friends, in this world we trust many things. Paul was challenged not to trust himself anymore. Not to trust his military skills anymore. Not to trust the Sanhedrin, that big body of religious authority that was there. Never again to trust even the high priest who gave him authority and the letters to kill the Christians. The man had to look beyond this world for his trust. That is the only way, my friend, you can build confidence. If you will look beyond this world for your trust. He had to understand what Proverbs 3 verse 5 says. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight. So what Paul does now, he encourages the church to look outside themselves for help and dependence. But let me remind you, who is it that is talking to? A church in the midst of persecution. A people in distress and almost driven to despair. But he says to them, even when your road leads uphill, even when you are tempted to turn back to the world, even when you are tempted to seek a downhill perhaps, Have confidence in the Lord. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And why will Paul actually boast in his confidence in the Lord? Of course, he trusts the Lord. But there has to be some practical reasons why Paul trusts in the Lord. Why Paul have confidence in this God who saved him. Because friends, physical suffering can steal your confidence in the Lord. Therefore, you must trust in the Lord. Imagine Paul in prison depending on himself. He would have failed. So he trusts in the Lord, he depends in the God, because physical suffering of this world has in itself something to move you from confidence in the Lord. Also, temporal happiness offered by this world can steal your confidence in the Lord. Think about it. Sitting there, as the church is suffering out there, perhaps somebody says, Paul, just reject the Lord Jesus Christ and be free. Maybe someone is talking to the church and say, you know what, leave away this Christianity, come back to Judaism and have a free life. Maybe someone is speaking to your life. Remember the happiness that we had in the world. Why will you leave those things? Come back to these things. But remember, they don't have to tell you those things sometimes. Sometimes they must just do those crazy things next to you so that they remind you of the world you come from. Offering you temporal happiness, which will steal your confidence in the Lord. But also sickness can steal your confidence in God. They say, stop trusting God. You've been sick for so long. There is someone somewhere. Come. Maybe there's help for you. So Paul has to boast about his confidence in God. This God cannot be compared. I know him who saved me. But also false churches and false teachers around Philippi could steal the believers' courage or encouragement and confidence in the Lord. And it's the same today. People no longer have confidence in the church and in the Lord Jesus Christ because of false teachers and false teaching, what the church looks like. Everybody says, they're the same. They've lost confidence in the gospel. But Paul says, I am confident in the Lord. But at the same time, friends, poverty can steal your confidence in the Lord. Lack. Friends, if you have been told wrongly about poverty and lack, that kind of knowledge can steal your confidence in the Lord. If you have been told that if God cares for you, you must have everything of this world, that kind of a knowledge can steal your confidence in the Lord.
And of course,
we can see from this word of God, it was not so in the situation of the church in Philippi. Paul confidently tells us that this church was a poor church. These people had not much to give or to show. Yet in his imprisonment, he's asking them, he's telling them to be confident in the Lord, not to look in the things of this world, to move their eyes from the world, to gaze upon the glory of God. You cannot have confidence in the flesh. Because Paul knows that flesh is weak. Our ways are weak. Our thoughts are futile. Therefore, self-confidence will be our spiritual suicide. Why? Because we are sinful and the world around us is sinful. So in a world like this, the Bible says it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust and put your confidence in man. Paul can speak of confidence in the Lord, my friends. But his aim is that we also may have confidence in the Lord. Because confidence in the Lord comes from a relationship with God. A close relationship with God. An intimate relationship with God. That is what Paul had. And now Paul is advising the church. Have the same confidence in God. Especially if you have a saving relationship with God. You can have such a confidence. We must have a living testimony before the world that is perishing out there. We cannot just be churchgoers. We cannot just be lovers of Christian music and Christian morals. We must have a testimony. We must be a people whose lives produce a fruit that will endure. People who are willing to abide in Christ. People who have a continual fellowship, communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. People who live by prayer. People who live by the word of God. So Paul says, take it from me, my friends. I may be in prison. I'm in prison for the sake of the gospel. I may be in shame right now. Things may not be looking great right now. But God is trustworthy. You can still put your confidence in Him. You can trust in Him. But secondly, we see God's decisive act of salvation in this text. Paul says, the way God orchestrated the way of salvation should build your confidence. Verse 6 again. Philippians chapter number 1.
Chapter 1.
He says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Friends,
Paul emphasizes the fact here that we did not initiate the work of salvation in our own lives. We did not start the process of salvation in our lives. Paul says you were not there when the Lord laid the foundation of your faith, when the Lord wrote your name in that book of the living. You were not there. It was God on his own. In great and infinite wisdom, God chose to begin a good work in you. He began a good work. He began his work of salvation in you. He says then, in other words, this is what he implies. Look at your position in the Lord. If you are a Christian, God has begun a good work in you. And that work begun by God will not fail. Because, as I said in my opening statement, nothing that God will begin can come to an end without finishing its purpose. But specifically, what is this good work that the Apostle Paul is talking about? There are many things that God begins in our lives. God helped you to start a family. God helps you to begin a business, perhaps. But here, friends, in the context of this way, it is the work of salvation. Paul speaks of the work of salvation in the heart of a believer. Paul says this is the work that is greater than any work. This work constitutes of a solid foundation, and that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Friends, this needs to build your confidence in the Lord. The work of salvation is begun by God in your life. Initiated, orchestrated, molded and shaped by God. God is the author of the newness of life. He is the architect of this building called the body of Christ. And he builds upon a solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says you can lose anything and everything of this world, but this you will not lose because it is begun by God. You can build your own Titanic, but it will sink. But the work of salvation will not sink. It depends not on man. It depends not on human will. It depends on the sovereign power of God to begin a good work in people's lives. So in other words, my friends, you, if you are in Christ right now, if you have believed in Him, if you have turned from your wicked ways, all that happens because God wanted it to happen. How do we know that He wanted it to happen? God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, to save sinners like me and you, to snatch us from that garbage of sin unto His marvelous light.
Amen.
Amen. But we all heard, right? It is God, it is God, it is God. Listen to John chapter 3, chapter 6, verse 37. These are words from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast away. God will begin a process of taking souls from the garbage of sin, rescuing souls from the jaws of hell. Give to Jesus those precious souls. Jesus says it is God the Father who begins this thing. Listen to verse 44 in the same chapter. Just so that you build confidence in God. So that you know God will never fail you. He says in verse number 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me. And who comes to me, I will raise him from the dead. So you need to think of a fisherman, my friends. A fisherman throws his line in the river, then he pulls. Then he pulls his net. Then all of a sudden the net is full of fish. In the same way God works mysteriously in our lives. In the business of salvation, He throws His net. The word of God. Through the preaching of the word. Then He begins to pull by the power of the Spirit. Then all of a sudden the net is full. So it is God who drags men from their wickedness unto righteousness, sweetly, softly, but forcefully, bringing them unto the light of Christ. Remember the question we are answering. I am a new believer. Will I not slip off? I'm an old believer. How long am I going to hold on? Paul says, have confidence in God. But the reason you must have confidence in God is because God began that work. He has begun the good work in you. Let me give you a practical but a biblical example also that God begins a good work. When Paul was preaching here in Philippi, according to Acts chapter number 16 verse 4, he got his first convert. The Bible says there, one who heard us, in other words, the one who heard the gospel was a woman named Lydia.
Lydia.
a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. What happened? The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. It was the Lord who opened her heart so that she may pay careful attention to what is being said by the Apostle Paul. In simple language, God began that good work. But I also want you to notice, friends, then, that the work of salvation, although begun by God, it has its ups and downs. I already told you that in the context of the book of Philippians, there were outsiders and false teachers. There were those who were persecuting the church. There were those who were attacking the faith. In other words, friends, we cannot assume that once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your enemies take a break or they rest just because now you are a Christian. There will be ups and downs. Why? Because this work begun by God is still under construction. It is a good work indeed, but it is still under construction. Though God's Spirit rests upon you, the work is still under construction. That is why, friends, we must never forsake the means of grace. We may never forget to come together as the children of God and partake in the Word of God. Because you are still under construction. We are not a finished product yet. You are like bread which is in the oven, in the process of baking. The oven is hot outside. The oven is also hot on the inside. The door is locked. The timer is set. The time to finish will be there, but not yet. So don't open the door while it's still in the process of baking. The work is still in progress. Let the baker finish his job. Let Christ finish molding and shaping you to the image of Christ until the coming of the same Christ. What happens when you open an oven in the process of baking? The bread gets spoiled. It shrinks. It becomes good for nothing. Now the process of baking is spoiled. So let us know. We have this good work in us. But it is a work in progress. And it is God who's working behind the scene like a puppet master, pulling strings, making you to will and to do in accordance to His will. What do you do when you are a work in progress? You subject yourself to God. You obey Him.
You remain faithful on the way. You walk by his statutes, not according to the counsel of the wicked. Friends, abide in him. There in that verse when Jesus said abide in him in John chapter 15, he was telling us, friends, that without him we will not bring forth a good fruit. So, although you are clean, although you are separated from the world, although you are saved, you still need to be attached into the Lord Jesus Christ. You still need the blood of Christ, as it were, in your veins to keep you going. Paul says, God began the work. You can have confidence in him. But finally, we see God's glorious intention for our salvation. Why did he begin this good work? Verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says God has a purpose in your salvation. And the purpose, it is firstly to complete the work of salvation. It is firstly to bring to pass that work that is in progress. Listen to Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. Just to add to our confidence and joy in salvation. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. There can be so many ups and downs in the journey of salvation, perhaps, but God's plan of salvation will prevail. You can sense there something of the sovereignty of God, God's hand working magic and wonder in your salvation. But also the faithfulness of God. Faithful not to you, but faithful to himself. He began this good work himself. Now he says the very same good work he began, he himself will bring to completion. Therefore, friends, the way may be dark and the dangers may await you along the way, but if you are a child of God, you shall be preserved and you will persevere till the end. You will persevere until Christ descends from heaven. You will persevere until he takes you home. But how will God complete this work? Firstly, he begins now through what we call sanctification. That is an act or a process of being made holy. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification works this way, that you may abstain from sexual immorality. that each and every one of you may know how to control his body in holiness and in honor to God. That each and every one of you may not act like the Gentiles, meaning the outsiders. So the idea here, friends, is that God has set you apart for a purpose. And he will bring you to the end. So friends, what we realize here, if it says God will complete this, in other words, God has not left the work of salvation solemnly upon you. He provides us with means to take us there. Lift up your eyes and look at me. This is what God will use to take you home. He will use his word to shape and mold you. It is through his word that he will complete the work of salvation in you. It is through his word that he will teach you to behave and to be holy in the way of salvation. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17 prays unto God and says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. So all that we need in our lives is the word of God in order for God to take us home. In other words, my friends, I need preaching in my life. Woe unto me if I go to a church and there is no preaching there. Woe unto me if I enjoy stories, because God will not use stories behind the pulpit to take me home. God will never use stories to shape and mold me. God will not use irrelevant stories to complete the work of salvation. I need preaching. You need preaching. Or you are in danger of malnutrition, which leads to spiritual suicide. But there's something greater, friends. Verse 6 tells us that God will bring this to completion in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This speaks of the perseverance of the saints. Something that we can call the eternal security of the believer. What this means is that because of salvation is begun by God, God will see to it that it comes to an end on that day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will take you there. He will cause you to escape evil and to choose good. God will work in your life by the power of his spirit, and you will persevere to the end. So you can have confidence in God. So you know that you can hold on to this God who is trustworthy. You can hold on unto him. You can live your life unto, you can give your life to him. He is a faithful God. He will make sure your salvation is completed. Remember when Peter was standing before the Lord Jesus Christ? Before Peter was tested, before he would deny the Lord Jesus Christ, Listen to the words of Jesus to him. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have you, but he might, that he might sit you away. But listen, friends. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And we know that Peter failed, brothers and sisters. But Jesus' prayer for Peter did not fail. Peter persevered to the end. God brought that work of salvation to its completion. And we know for sure that God did not only pray, Jesus did not only pray for his immediate disciples, he prayed also for us that we may persevere to the end. Friends, we are not walking alone. We walk with the Lord. He has begun a good work in you, and he shall bring it to completion. The world may cause you to stumble. Your friends may mock you because of your faith. But God has begun a good work in you, and he will bring it to completion. At the coming of this Lord Jesus Christ, you will inherit a special place, a place in the kingdom of God. Yeah, God will glorify you. What does that mean? He will give you the same body as that of the Lord Jesus Christ. But why? That you may not sin again. That you may not partake in the ways of this world. That you may not even think about sin anymore. But above all, that you may worship God with a sinless heart. Paul says, have confidence in this
God.
He began a good thing. He will bring it to completion. Let me close like this, my friends. Trust in the Lord. Let your hope be built on nothing less than the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of trouble and challenges of this world, let Christ be your solid rock, that foundational rock, the rock of ages cleft for you. Rejoice in the Lord. He will keep you from the power of evil and evil men. The Bible says he is able to save you to the uttermost. Friends, on a daily basis, continue to draw near to this God. Have confidence in this God. Be a prayerful Christian because you trust in this God. Be a true worshipper of God because you trust in this God. But above all, remain in the congregation of believers. Because when God saves you, he puts you in the body of Christ. Now do not neglect coming together as the ways of others. The Titanic of this world will sink. But you, in your salvation, saved by God, you will not sink. Even if it looks like you are sinking right now, God has begun a good work. And it is Him who shall bring it to completion. So between now and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, put your confidence in the Lord. Do not allow the world and the worldliness
to
sweep you away from your confidence in the Lord. Day by day, lift up your eyes unto the Lord. Be on your knees. Trust His word. God bless you. Let's pray.